happened. We got a knock on the door a few days ago, and there was our neighbor's, I think she's 10 now, neighbor's 10-year-old who asked us how many Girl Scout cookies we were wanting to buy. Now, we know her pretty well, and she knows I'm a priest. And as I turned around and I had that great discussion with my family, how many boxes of this, how many boxes of that, right, and then one Thin Mint box for Dad, which no one is to touch, I turned around and looked. I said, now, when remind me again when they are to be delivered. And she looked at 10 years old. She looked at me. She said, right in the middle of Lent. Why, oh why, does Girl Scouts taunt us so, dropping their tasty goodness right in the middle of Lent? Well, let me commence my Lenten preaching a little early. If you're here today, you get the bonus of getting a big head start for Lent, so congratulations. And I hope that maybe, kind of like Jesus teaching in the synagogue, that we can have a new teaching with authority about Lent and maybe cast out some of the demons that we have hanging about the place. Let me start with a joke. I've told it before, but any good joke bears repeating. A priest was walking down the road. He took a turn down a dark alley when he was confronted with a robber, stuck his gun out and said, "Give me all your money." Classic. You know, and then the priest jumped and he started undoing his coat to reach in to get his wallet. And it was then that the robber saw that he was a priest. And he goes, "Oh my God, robber. I'm sorry, Father. Just never mind. I couldn't possibly rob a priest." And the priest, who was still very nervous, reached into his other pocket and got out some cigarettes and sort of, you know, offered one to the robber. And he said, "Oh no, Father, I gave up smoking for Lent." If you don't see the irony of giving up smoking for Lent while you're still robbing people at gunpoint, please see me in the back of church. I want to talk to you for just a second. Why do we give up or take on things during Lent? What is it that we think we are doing by that action? My sister and I, when we were kids, every year we would give up chocolate for Lent. I guess it's something, you know, that kids can do. And we would have arguments about what it precisely, that's probably why I ended up a priest, what precisely equaled chocolate. If you look at the ingredients of Butterfinger, for instance, it just says chocolate flavor. Chocolate flavor, not chocolate. Or Tootsie Roll, chocolate, not chocolate. I don't know. But I imagine that if I asked you what we did on Easter morning, when every year we got the same gift in our Easter basket, it was a Sunshine Sarah chocolate bunny, my sister was Sarah, and a Candy Andy bunny, I'm Andy, obviously, we would do what with those before church? Eat the entire thing. I can't remember going to an Easter service without a stomachache for Easter Sunday, and that was why. So what is it that we're doing if we take on disciplines that we just mean to gorge ourselves on Sunday morning? I want to read to you from the Book of Common Prayer. We will read this together Ash Wednesday, 7:30, noon, and 6, if you're interested in joining. We read this: Lent is a time of self-examination and repentance by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's Word. So we pray and fast and self-denial so that we may repent. Repent is a word that just means turn, right? We repent, we turn away from the things that distract us from God, and we actually turn to God by means of prayer and fasting and self-denial. But that does not then mean that on Easter Sunday we turn back away from God and go back in the direction that we've always been going. I implore you to think of your Lenten disciplines as an opportunity for you to take on something or give up something that you intend to keep doing or not doing respectfully, so that we may continue moving towards the dream of God for us and for our lives together, so that we can continue to practice being Easter people, not just on Easter Sunday and not just for the season of Lent, but to continue to look through resurrection lenses every day. To look through resurrection lenses every day. Let me tell you a resurrection story. So you know what I mean. I say that all the time. Live as Easter people. Live as people of the resurrection. And so often I hear, well, great, what does that mean? Well, here's a story that tells us. You'll remember at least a part of this story because it was on one cold January afternoon in about 2009 that U.S. Airways Flight 1549 out of LaGuardia Airport, headed to Charlotte, North Carolina, I believe, landed instead of the waters in the Hudson River because it hit a bird. And perhaps you remember that event, and maybe one of the pilots on that flight, Chesley Sullenberger, who was a pilot from Texas. But I want to tell you someone that you don't know from that flight, someone that you haven't heard of. His name was Rick Elias, and he was in seat 1D on that day. And Rick remembers all too well the calm words of Captain Sullenberger as that eerily silent plane, because the engines were dead, that eerily silent plane was glided rapidly towards the Hudson River. And Rick thought these would be the last words he ever heard. Brace for impact. And his mind was racing, life flashing before his eyes as he thought about his life and his work and his family. And he said he thought about all the people he wanted to reach out to but no longer had time. All the fences he wanted to mend, and now, no time. And he said in that moment, he was sad about how often his priorities had been skewed. And he regretted the time that he wasted on things that didn't matter. That he had ranked people with less importance than they deserved. And he said, as that plane was descending down into the Hudson River and he thought he was going to die, he was not afraid. What he was sad, heartbroken, because he said, I had missed so much of my life. And he continues, I was given the gift of two miracles that day. The first was I survived. The second, I was given the gift to see into the future and to come back and live differently. Lent should be the equivalent of our U.S. Airways Flight 1549. A near-death experience when we come on Ash Wednesday and we are reminded you are dust and to dust you shall return, so that we might have the opportunity of taking on or giving up those things that keep us from being Easter people. As you ponder this year's Lent, do not be tempted to take on any trifling or tawdry disciplines, but boldly consider the things which are significant to you. How Christ may Easter in you, how you may bring light into darkness, or practice recognizing and speaking out at injustice, or squinting until you see hope in a lost cause. If we are honest, we don't really prepare for Easter with resurrection and resurrection with giving up Tootsie Rolls. Our faith is so much grander than that. In today's gospel, Jesus takes the hand of a sick mother-in-law, whose name we don't even know other than she's Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and he lifts her up, and she begins to serve them. And that word serve them is the very first time the word deacon is used in our scripture. Not for Stephen, who very often is considered the first deacon. No, mother of Simon Peter, he lifted her up and she began to serve. She began to deacon. Might I suggest that you allowing yourself to be lifted up by Christ's merciful hand may very much and very well look like service to others. And I invite you this Lent to ask yourself how you may serve others, becoming a servant of all.